could just get these people to walk in the door of the church, that's what we need. Who are the kind of people that come to your mind when you think that? Now, it's probably going to be different from everybody or for everybody. The people you think, oh, this is who we need. Often, the people Jesus is calling are not the ones you would expect. So who is Jesus actually calling? To himself. And of course, we're all going to go, well, Jesus puts the call out to everybody. But he also puts out a very specific call to people's lives. Probably a lot of you in this room remember when Jesus called your name. Jesus made himself real to you, and you're like, yes, I need to respond to this Jesus. Well, we're going to hear a story today of Jesus calling a very specific man to himself, a man named Levi. We all probably read it and think Levi. His name was Levi. And Jesus is once again, he's near Capernaum, is the town where he lives. And he goes out beside the Sea of Galilee again. People are coming to him again. And as he walks along, he's teaching the people. And as he walks along, he comes beside a tax collecting booth. And we're going to hear how a man named Levi responds to Jesus. So Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, I'm just going to say Levi. Is that okay? As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Lord, would you open up your word to us today? We've just heard your word read. Now, would you open our ears and our hearts, our minds, to take that in and to receive what you want to pour into us and what you want to plant into us. And Lord, the fruit that you want to see come out from us, from this word. We thank you for that in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus is out. He's walking along the sea. And I love that he walks up to this tax booth. Now, this is probably a guy who at least has heard about Jesus, because this isn't a metropolis. Capernaum is not a huge place. He probably knows about the Jesus who's been healing people in his village. Lots of people. Their lives have been changed. Demons have come out of people. They've been set free. But here's this guy. He's a tax collector. We'll get into this a little bit, what that means for him. And Jesus walks up to the man and says, follow me. There's no explanation. We read this and think, well, of course, what he means is, come and I want to be the Lord of your life, and you can come and be my disciple, and I'm going to train you and teach you and raise you. And we can read all of that into the passage right away. But all it tells us is Jesus walks up and says, follow me. And Levi gets up. He's on the job. He's on the clock. And he gets up and he leaves his job and he follows him. Already, I like this guy. I like this guy. He's like, Jesus said to follow. I wonder what he's up to. I wonder what he's doing. Follow me. Okay. And he just follows. Now, I like this guy, Levi, for a few reasons. Now, I'm reading into this a little bit right here. There's a whole tribe in the people of God and the people of Israel who are the Levites. Now, we don't know for sure that Levi was a Levite. Doesn't spell that out very specifically for us. My guess is he's probably a Levite, just based on his name alone. And the Levites have a role in the people of God, and it is to do this. It's to help the priests with everything regarding the temple and helping the people engage with life in God. Only the priests can offer the sacrifices, and the priests are also from the tribe of Levi, but only they can offer the sacrifices. But the whole tribe, their role is to support the priests and to help the people engage with what God is calling them to do. But Levi is not in that role. Levi's changed his role up a little bit. Now, what's cool is his name is Levi, and it says he's the son of Alphaeus, which is kind of a weird name to our modern ears, Alphaeus. But Alphaeus means change. So I like this. I read this. I'm like, Levi, son of change. That's kind of cool. Who is this guy? I don't know. I don't know all of his family history. But he's Levi, son of change. Now, some of the change that's in his life is probably not good. The scenario, we don't know. Is this the only job the guy could get? Times are tough. Sometimes you got to do things you don't really want to do. Sometimes you got to make ends meet. And if that means getting your income from the wrong crowd, well, so be it. We don't know the exact scenario here. It reminds me of a story. It is Father's Day, by the way. It's Father's Day. And it reminds me of a Father's Day story. It's actually a story about a man who did not have children. And it was the last live action movie that Walt Disney ever produced before he died. In fact, it released 2 weeks before Walt Disney died in 1966. And it was a movie about a man who was a jazz musician. And he was traveling around in this kind of ragamuffin, this group of guys, bunch of musician guys, driving around in a school bus, playing shows. But he had a dream to be a lawyer. And they pull into this little town, and he's finally had it with the rest of these musicians. And he's like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm gonna settle down. I'm going to find a way to change my life and not just be on the road all the time. And he comes to this little town, and he sees this lady, and he goes, wow. He likes her, follows her, ends up at a town hall meeting, and they're trying to figure out what to do with all the boys in this town. And she's wanting to figure this out, and she's scratching names off a list of, well, could this group help them, or could this group help them? And the name that's not scratched out on the list, and this jazz musician guy's kind of looking to see what she's up to, the name that's not scratched out yet is the Boy Scouts. And so he decides to make a motion, brand new guy in town, make a motion. Hey, I'd like to volunteer to be a scoutmaster. And setting up the whole thing with this lady. Well, what happens is he becomes a Boy Scout leader in this town. And he becomes a father to a bunch of boys who are just in trouble on the street, causing all kinds of problems. Becomes the father that a lot of them needed. The movie's called Follow Me, Boys, if you ever want to see it. It's great, great. I love it. Probably because my son is an Eagle Scout and I was a scout leader too, so it means more to me maybe than other people. This guy, this jazz musician who comes to the town and he says to these boys, follow me. Jesus does the same thing here in Capernaum. And he says to a guy named Levi, follow me. Follow me. Now, Levi's been collecting taxes. Probably what this is he's been collecting border taxes and maybe taxes off of the fishing industry as guys are bringing in their, their crop, bringing in their haul. But he's collecting on behalf of Herod Antipas, who leads this whole, he's kind of a Roman puppet king. He leads the region, and Levi is collecting taxes as basically a collaborator with the occupying Romans. If you're helping Herod Antipas, you're also helping the Romans. And so a lot of the people don't like these guys. The tax collectors, these are the guys you don't want. When you ask that question, who is it that if we could get those guys to start coming to the church, if we could get them to connect, if we could get them to start following Jesus, that's what we need. Levi is not that man. Levi's the guy you go, oh my gosh, please don't tell anyone that he came and visited the church. Because they're going to assume that we're all like that. Now, who's that to you? Who are those people you're like, oh gosh, don't get that guy in here. Don't bring those types in here. Levi is that type. He's the kind everyone else, the respectable people, would like to have nothing to do with. And Jesus says to him, to that guy, follow me. Now this makes me like Jesus a lot more too. Not like I didn't like him before. But when I see this kind of thing, like, wow, Jesus is not afraid to call the people that you're afraid to call, that I'm afraid to call. The people that, if I associate with you, what's everyone else going to think? This could be like hobbling everything we're trying to do in the name of God. And Jesus goes, I'm not ashamed to call that guy my brother. I am not ashamed. Actually, we find that in Hebrews where it says that. Jesus is not ashamed to call any of us brothers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we keep going here, I've got to bring a slight correction. Sometimes, because I don't like to write out all of my messages, sometimes I just say things. And I said something last week that I probably overstated. Because I said there was no way, very, very unlikely, that the story we were talking about when Jesus heals the paralyzed man. And I said, well, some theologians say this was probably actually Jesus' house. And I was like, well, maybe, maybe not. Don't know. But as we look at verse 15, and it says, as he reclined at table in his house, it made me do a little digging. And I look back and I realize, comparing through the Gospels, that Jesus, it actually says in Matthew that Jesus had moved from Nazareth where he kind of grew up. He had moved to Capernaum. And it was only after that that he then calls Peter and Andrew to become his disciples. And so when he then goes and heals Peter's mother-in-law, that happened afterwards. But Jesus had already moved to Capernaum. So it actually is entirely possible that Jesus actually had his own house in Capernaum. So as we're reading this text, there's one of two ways this could go. That as he reclined at table in his house, this could be Levi the tax collector's house, or this could be Jesus' house. Could be one of the two. Doesn't really specify, to my understanding. Maybe Randy's better Greek understanding might. Yeah, I know it doesn't. It's his, right? Okay, that's all I came up with. But it could be either one. Either way, Jesus is hanging out with Levi the tax collector. And not just Levi the tax collector. Now, so Jesus is called the tax collecting sinner to follow him. Now, this is funny. Just think about who Jesus is, okay? In Matthew 18, he's talking about how we deal with issues in the church, forgiveness in the church. And he says, if you have an issue with your brother, you go to your brother, right? Maybe if you've grown up around the church, you've probably heard this. If you have an issue with your brother, you don't go to your brother's friend. You don't go to everybody else and talk about your brother. If you have an issue with your brother, you go to your brother. You go to the person who's offended you. You don't go talk to your mother or your mother-in-law about it. You go talk to the person who offended you. If they won't hear you, your brother won't hear you, you take someone else. We would assume that's someone who's trustworthy, who's not just going to take sides and harbor a grudge or whatever. Take someone else, you go with them. If they still won't hear you, you bring it to the elders of the church. And if they still won't hear you, take it all the way through. And these people still just are stubborn and won't repent. Jesus says, you know what you treat them like? A tax collector. Jesus says you treat them like a tax collector. Now, I love this because this guy, Levi, we think is the same guy who's also called Matthew, who is one of Jesus' key disciples, one of his 12, his inner circle. So when Jesus says, if they still won't hear you, treat them like a tax collector. I could just imagine like Jesus kind of looking out, looking sideways, a little glance over and a kind of little smile at the side of his mouth. Treat them like this guy. Treat them like a tax collector. It's just really funny. The things that Jesus says, when you put them all in context. So let's look at how Jesus treated this tax collector, shall we? He says very specifically to Levi, not to the crowd, not to everybody else around. He says to Levi, a very individual, personal call, follow me. I want you to hear this because Jesus isn't just putting out a big general call to everybody and their dog. He's calling you specifically, individually, by name. He's like, you, come follow me. None of you are just a nameless, faceless piece of a jigsaw puzzle. God looks at you very specifically, very individually. And he says, Randy, come follow me. He says, Eric, follow me. Bree, follow me. Donald, follow me. Jamar, follow me. We could just go through the whole list of all of us. Follow me. And I want to pause there for a minute and be sure we really are hearing that. Hearing Jesus saying to you, to me, follow me. And I just love that he did. He got up and followed him. The very next thing we read is here they are, reclining at table, right? That means we're eating together. He reclined at table in his house. Many tax collectors and sinners are reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Do you know where Jesus wants you to follow him? You're thinking, where do I go? Well, the most basic thing would be wherever Jesus goes. If he says, follow me, that means you go where he goes. But where we see him leading Levi is home. Home. Now, there's two ways we could go on this, right? Either he's saying, Levi, follow me. And where does he go? Levi's house. Wait. He starts following Jesus. Like, this is really familiar. You're going to my house? And what we see happening here is a party, right? There's lots of tax collectors here. And not just tax collectors, but other categories of sinners. So people who are not honoring God with their life in who knows what area of life. And Jesus says to Levi, follow me. And where do they go? With a lot of other people like Levi. And it's the people that the religious leaders are offended that Jesus would hang out and eat with these people. What are you doing? I would like to be that kind of offensive person. Seriously. I want to hang out with the people Jesus is hanging out with. Whether the church likes that or doesn't. Whether who do you put in that category? The religious types like that or don't. Trust me, the people Jesus is hanging out with, that's where you want to be. It's where you want to be. But religious people may not like it. They may be offended. They may not understand. Why in the world would Jesus do this? And not only that, but see what they're going to do. These Pharisees don't go to Jesus and say, why are you doing this? You know what they do? They go to his disciples. And they say to his disciples, who are, by the way, also at table with the sinners and the tax collectors. And they go to the disciples and they say, why does Jesus do this? What, you mean the same thing we're doing? Jesus wants to get into our real lives. And he wants to get into the people we actually hang out with. Not the churchy, surfacey, well, we're going to the synagogue now. Put on your synagogue clothes and your synagogue smile and your, you know, or your church clothes and your church smile and your churchiness. Everything you have to put on to look like a good church person. Jesus doesn't lead Levi to the synagogue. They go home. And they hang out around the table. And they're eating. Jesus wants to get into our real lives. And he wants you to follow him home. But that can include your own home. Your life with Jesus, you're following Jesus in this story, begins at home. What does your life with Jesus look like? Not in this room or at community group, but at home. Jesus wants to get into that place. Follow me to your friends. Guess where Jesus is leading you? So those other friends you have who may have been in the exact same lifestyle that you're in. Follow me. Where are we going? Well, we're going to have a party with a bunch of other sinners. We're going to hang out. Guess what those guys are doing? They're hanging out listening to Jesus. I'm not saying Jesus is hanging out with the sinners getting drunk. Nope. He wasn't a drunkard. He got accused of it. But he would hang out with the people who were. He would hang out with the sinners. Jesus is not afraid. Hear this. Jesus is not afraid to meet your sin. He is not afraid of what your home life actually looks like. Now, maybe this was a party at Jesus' house, and Jesus had invited all the sinners to his house, including Levi. He invited the tax collectors, the people none of the other church wanted to hang out with. And Jesus said, you know what? Come to my house for dinner. I'll hang out with you. He's not afraid to meet your sin, and he's not afraid to meet your sinner friends. He wants to meet your sinner friends. Guys, if you don't have any sinner friends, get some. Get some. Find some. If you don't have some people who are not serving Jesus with their whole lives, gosh, let's go hang out with some people who need to, they need to meet Jesus. Now, again, the religious people aren't going to like this, but that's okay. They didn't like Jesus. You know what the fruit of this is? If you follow, just in Mark's gospel alone, if you follow ahead, Mark chapter 3, verse 18, we meet a guy named James the Younger. Not Peter, James, and John. There's another of Jesus' key guys who's also named James. James the Younger. You know who his father is? Alphaeus. He's called James the son of Alphaeus. Wait a minute. Levi is also called Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Jesus called Levi as a tax collector, as a collaborator with the enemy, with the overlords. Invites a bunch of other tax collectors. And in the very next chapter, we find out that as Jesus is choosing his key, the guys that are going to turn the world upside down, very likely Levi's own brother is one of those guys. His brother has now come to Christ. His brother is now following Jesus. Why? Because Jesus wants to get into your real life, where your family is, where your friends are who don't know him. And he wants to change lives. You know what else? We get to the end of Mark. Mark chapter 15, verse 40. And we find out Levi's mother is one of those at the cross with Jesus. One of the Marys is Levi's mom. When we let Jesus get into our real lives, our families are affected. Your brother comes to Christ. Your mom comes to Christ. This is pretty cool. The last thing Jesus wants to lead you into here in this follow me home idea is this. What do they do when they get there? They hang out and they eat. That doesn't sound very religious, does it? We're going to sit down with Jesus. He's going to open up all of the truths of God. And Jesus says, let's hang out. Let's eat. I like him. The more I read about Jesus, the more I like him. It's Father's Day. Guess what? You can barbecue and that's okay. You can hang out like, well, children, let's open up the Word of God together. I'd like to talk to you about what a Christian father should be. Now, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not mocking that. Maybe a little bit. But I'm not really trying to mock that. But it's okay to just hang out. Jesus wants you to follow him into rest. We said that before, how the Jewish day would begin at sunset. Not beginning with your work day, but beginning with rest. Jesus wants you to follow him into rest. He's not coming into your life to stress you out, but to lead you into real and true rest that is actually only found in him. You can enjoy Jesus, and that's okay. You can enjoy him, and he likes to enjoy you. Do you hear that? Jesus likes to enjoy you. He likes to kick back with you. What do you enjoy doing? I don't love listening to a lot of, like, seriously heavy metal music where the guys don't sing. They roar or scream. You know, it's like, rah, 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 rah. But you know what I really do like to do? I love being the drummer in that kind of high energy, high octane, like, oh, kind of music. I love being the drummer. Guys, I'm not saying you have to like that. You don't. And my brother is a phenomenal metal bassist. And so when Dave and I can hang out together and I can be a drummer and he can be a bass player, we have a great time together. I also like jazz and I like playing other stuff. But there's something about just pounding out like testosterone pumping music that's just fun. I like it. When I come to Jesus, I don't have to pretend like I don't. Jesus likes to hang out with you and he likes to enjoy what you enjoy. Now, if what you enjoy doing is absolutely sinful and ungodly, Jesus is going to follow you home and he's going to change it. He's going to change your heart because he's faithful to do that. But he's also going to hang out with you and enjoy life with you. That's pretty cool. This is a Jesus I want to follow. I'm suddenly reminded of this song that my brother wrote. It is kind of one of those roaring songs. And it's a prophetic call to sinners. And the song is called Wake Up the Dead. Which sounds really creepy and zombie-like and all this, right? But Dave stands up there. He's a really prophetic guy, actually. And he just stands up and the band is just building and swelling. And Dave just calls out with his big, super manly voice. My brother's got this big. And he just goes, wake up the dead. And the band kicks in. And literally the song is all about wake up and come alive to Christ. And the bikers love it. And my brother gets to lead hardcore bikers to Jesus. And they don't have to, they come to his church, they bring their bikes, and sometimes families with small children are a little intimidated by the guys who come to my brother's church. Because you get 30 Harleys sitting outside with the guys who look like they belong to them also outside. And they're, what are we bringing our children to? Well, you're bringing them to Jesus who saves sinners and tax collectors and bikers and drug addicts and ex-cons. This is what Jesus does. Now, he wants you to follow him home. And he wants you to follow him into freedom. I just watched a thing this morning on ESPN. It was one of their best of commercials. In fact, if you put it in, if you could Google it on your own time, put in ESPN, Follow Me to Freedom. It's hilarious because it's a commercial about them doing a test run for Y2K to make sure that ESPN and their studios are all Y2K compatible, and they're not. And it's absolute panic and guys with baseball bats smashing their computers because everything's gone wrong. And one guy jumps out in the middle and he's like, follow me to freedom. And they're like running out of the ESPN studios. It's very funny. Jesus wants you to follow him to real freedom. Real freedom. By sitting at the wrong table, Jesus teaches us about the people he's calling. A good friend of mine leads a bunch of the New Frontiers churches in Mexico. Lee Yarbrough has preached a message on this part. I've heard it time and time again. It's just like one of Lee's just kind of life messages of sitting at the wrong table. Jesus sits at the table with the wrong people. Wrong in quotes, the wrong people. By sitting at the wrong table, Jesus teaches us about the people he's calling. We kind of already said this. Religious people may not understand why Jesus does what he does and why we as his disciples do what we do in his name. When we sit at the wrong table too. But Jesus has an answer. Because those at the wrong table need freedom. Those at the wrong table, the sinners, the people that you go, oh, don't sit with those people. They need the freedom that is only found in Christ. But what does he say? He doesn't actually use the word freedom here. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Duh. I think he's pointing something out. Those who are sick, he's talking about sinners. Sinners have a spiritual sickness that needs a spiritual doctor. It needs a spiritual physician. Those who are well have no need of the physician, but those who are sick. And then he points to himself. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So who's the physician he's talking about? Himself. Dr. Jesus. I feel like that should be a rock song right there. Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus makes house calls. I feel the creative juices flowing there. Dr. Jesus makes house calls. Whether that's at Levi's house or whether that's at your house, he makes house calls. But he says something to the religious people that should make us all listen very closely. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The religious people who think they are the righteous, they think they are good. But that righteousness and that goodness is found not in Christ. It's found outside of Christ in their own actions, their own behaviors, their own check the boxes. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. Boom, I am good and I am righteous. And Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous. But sinners. Who is Jesus calling? Sinners. If you think you're good and righteous, you are in... Now, I'm talking about outside of Jesus here, okay? Because in Christ, his righteousness is now your righteousness. So you can think, I have not represented Jesus well at all this week, and I know it. I'm the most pitiful sinner in the world. But if you're in Christ, he's made you righteous. If your faith and your hope and your trust are in him, that's where your righteousness is found. Not in your behavior, not in how well you checked all the boxes this week or didn't. But it's those who think they are good and they think they are spiritual, but they're not following Jesus in that. Those people are in the most scary place imaginable. And that can be people in the church and outside of the church. Because you can grow up in the church, and an evangelist friend of mine who's with the Lord now, his name was Mike Hagan. Mike would always say, going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You can go to McDonald's every day and you are not a hamburger. You can go to church every day. That doesn't make you a Christian. Your righteousness is only going to be found in Jesus Christ. And when he says, come, he says, follow me. When we say, okay, you put your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus. This is what he's talking about. But who's going to do that? People who know, I need Jesus. I need a physician. In and of myself, I'm sick. In and of myself, I'm broken. In and of myself, I'm lost. In and of myself, that makes me a sinner. I need Jesus. All across our nation, all across the world are people who do good things, practice spiritual principles, disciplines. But if they say, no, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. They can't come to Christ like that. Jesus says, I am calling sinners. And you have to recognize that. Yes, I'm a sinner. And I need you. I need you. If you have friends that you know that are in denial about that, pray for them. Because they need their eyes opened so they can turn to Jesus. Until they realize they're sinners, they can't come to Jesus. But Jesus is calling sinners, and he's healing sinners, and he's bringing sinners to freedom. And he's taking sinners and making them righteous. If you hang out with Donald and I very often, you will hear us over and over and over saying, never, once someone comes to Christ, never again are they called sinners in the Bible. Sadly, in the church, we forget that. They're now called saints. It doesn't say we never sin. And you don't sin. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Yeah, we get it. But your identity is no longer a sinner. But until you have come to Christ, your identity is a sinner. Why do you sin? Because you're a sinner. It's what sinners do. But once you've come to Christ, you are now a saint. And you're going to find yourself becoming more and more and more like Christ. Because Jesus isn't just calling to sinners like Levi and saying, follow me. He's calling to sinners like Levi, and I could fill in the blank with every one of our names before we come to Christ. Saying, follow me. But he's going to be who he says he is, the great physician. He's healing sinners. He's transforming sinners into saints. Thank you, Jesus. So outside of Jesus, landing this plane, outside of Jesus, we are all spiritually sick until Jesus comes to make us well. And the good news is, We already said it. Jesus is calling sinners. The one who need the great physician to heal their spiritual condition. He's inviting us to identify as those who need him. Now, even if you're already a Christian and you're a saint, you still need Jesus. And that's part of understanding. Yeah, this is who I am in Christ. I need Jesus. I get it. He's my righteousness. I need him. Jesus, I need you. Think about that in your own heart. Can you say that? Jesus, I need you. I need you. To people who are saying, yes, Jesus, I need you, he's calling and he's saying, come follow me. Follow me.